Hello, thank you for visiting Crossroad International Church, a Christian community in the heart of Kuwait consisting of believers from dozens of countries around the world. Our vision is to see all people in Kuwait know, believe, and model the unconditional love and life-giving hope of Jesus. We hope you're blessed by the message this morning.
God is greater than our hearts. So he's picking up on this thing. So already he identifies some of the lies that we receive and believe, right? In the previous paragraph, he said our hearts can condemn us, but God is greater than our hearts because our hearts are wrong. So he continues this idea today. And he says, the spirits, to test the spirits, because there is a spiritual dimension to life. As believers, we can perceive spiritual truth through the Holy Spirit. But not everything spiritual is from God. There's lots that is spiritual that is demonic. And as we have moved out of the modern world, which said that there is nothing besides matter, we've moved into a postmodern world where everything is spiritual, but very little is the Holy Spirit. Things like Ouija boards, there might be something to that, that's spiritual, not just people moving their hands around. When I was a kid in my BC days as like a teenager, we did this thing as kids. Someone laid on the floor, and it's a dark room, and you use your two fingers, and you say, light as a feather, stiff as a board, and maybe some of you know that. And with our two fingers, four, five, six people were able to lift this person. Now, was that... obviously, that was wrong in the mind. I was a kid, so parents, watch what your kids are doing. That's the moral of that story. But there could have been a spiritual dimension to that. Tarot card readings and making a dramatic comeback. And I would posit these things are real and demonic, right? The idea of spiritual and spirits can be from the world, from the devil, or from ourselves. And he explains that to test the spirits because there are, first of all, there's false prophets, right? People who have great charisma. Maybe no truth, but a lot of charisma, a lot of charm, a lot of the things that make us want to believe them. If you look at Revelation, those people will be powerful miracle workers, right, in the last days. And they will charm and they'll have charisma to win people over. And then he says there's false prophets. These are some of the spirits of the world. There's cultural messages that are given, right? Also a resurgence of things like yoga and meditation. Now, Christian meditation, where you're filling your mind with God's truth, that's required. Actually, the Psalms talk about that. But this is talking about the emptying of your mind, and there's a spiritual dimension to yoga and this sort of meditation about self-confidence, manifestation. And those are unbiblical ideas, and those are also false spirits. Drifting doctrines, right? Even within the church, we're seeing doctrines move away from the truth. The idea of the prosperity gospel, that your life will have no problem. Your life will be easy if you come and you give, that everything will be good. There's nothing like what the Bible talks about and preaches. And also obsession with minor issues. People are so divided. I think there's 50,000 denominations today because of over obsession with tiny, insignificant issues, which is also, I think, a drifting doctrine. And then impressions, feelings that we think that are from God, but they might also be from ourselves or from the world or from the devil, right? Because the devil's a great accuser of the brethren. So Satan does speak to us. So these are some of the ideas that are false. And John says we must test, we must examine, we must evaluate, we must discern. And that takes wisdom, right? It takes wisdom from the Holy Spirit. And because there are, the reason this is because there are so many false prophets in the world today, he said, even this is 80 95 AD, right? Have the false prophets and false messages gotten less or more since then? They've gotten obviously so much more. He, even himself, he was battling Gnosticism, this idea that Jesus came spiritually but not physically. That was like 20 years after Jesus rose from the dead, this false idea came into and tried to take over Christianity or absorb parts of it into itself. And as the largest religion on earth, Christianity, of course, there's going to be every sort of false teacher, false religion, spiritual distortions of the true. So, for us, we need to not trust spirits, ideas that are opposed to the Bible. Either whether they are from friends, they are from family, they are from acquaintances. People have a form of spirituality. And they may be super sincere in what they believe. But they can be sincere and sincerely wrong, because they would be aligning with the false prophets that John is talking about. And the Bible is one of the greatest measures of truth that we have. And if you don't know the Word of God, it is hard to discern truth from error. So I have said this, I'm saying this several times today, and I've said it every week before. Have daily time in Scripture. Have daily time in Scripture. Yes, I'm so glad you're here and you're receiving the Word of God, but once a week is not going to be enough to guard you from the spirits of truth and error that are coming. Read the Word daily. Pray daily. Because if you know the Word, then you will be able to understand truth from error. Also, we need to be wary and cautious of impressions, I put this in quotes, that come from our own desires or fears. Right? It can be interesting how God's voice and my desires correlate so well. And yes, sometimes, of course, God may use our desires and our gifts and our motivations to lead us and to talk to us and to show us things. Absolutely. But don't always assume that the voices of your desires and God's voice are the same. Right? I've just seen so many poor choices of people say, God told me to do this. And that's like an easy trump, right? God told me that I need to do this now. Like, what do you say to that? But that's probably, it's unlikely to be true all the time. Right? It's probably their own minds, their worldly ideas, or other people influencing them. So we must reject what is not from God. We need to be honest with ourselves. Right? We have desires. That's fine. And God might have desires for us too. And maybe those are opposite. You're here. You know, many people have thought, and it could be from God or from not. We should leave because it's scary. There's a war going on. And God may say that to you, and that's fine. But just be careful of the idea of like having peace about something might be contrary to what is easy. Right? I think true impressions often cost us something from the Lord. Right? The whole idea of sacrifice, which is a major theme in John, is killing something. Right? Something that you want or like or need. That's what sacrifice means. So we need to be aware and wary of false impressions that somehow suit always our fleshly desires. Now, if not every voice is from God, how do we know the true voice? Well, my second point is, and Jesus is the test of truth in verses 2 and 3. So he talks about here is how does the Spirit of God operate, right? There are competing voices in this world today of truth and falsehood. And we must know what the Holy Spirit is against the self, against ourselves, the world, Satan. And how do we do that? It's every idea that confesses Jesus, John says. Now, yes, there's power in the name, but this is beyond the name of Jesus, because demonic spirits in Jesus' time knew his name, right? And his identity. The demons confess, "You are the Holy One of God." So the demons knew his name. So it means more than just his name. It means that Jesus, which means Yeshua, right? The same word we use for Joshua. Joshua was in the Old Testament a savior from his enemies. He conquered the land and delivered it to his people. So he saved the people. And Jesus also came to say, not in the way that people wanted him to say. People didn't make people miss Jesus in his time because they wanted Jesus, like Joshua, to throw off the yoke of the Romans and restore national Israel to its proper place in the land. But Jesus said, that's not why I'm here. His saving is so much greater. He wanted to save people from sins, separate them from God, and bring them into an eternal kingdom, not a physical kingdom. And Christ is the Greek word for king or Messiah. He is God in flesh, right? The Gospel of John, the same writer, is the most clear understanding of who Jesus is as God. Right. In John's Gospel, he says, before Abraham was, I am. And that's why they wanted to kill him, because he was clearly showing that Jesus is God in the flesh, fully incarnate, as John says, right? Has come in the flesh. That's what you must believe. Not the Gnostic Gospel that there's only a spiritual Jesus. Jesus is, you know, he was a man, but he taught great truths as a teacher. No. That's what the Gnostics believe. Or that he wasn't physical, he's a spiritual idea. Bumps. Jesus fully came as God and man in the flesh. So any spiritual teaching, any spiritual message or doctrine or thoughts, it must be centered on Jesus, who he was and what he did, connected to the Savior and King being fully man and God through our belief in his death for our sins and his resurrection on the third day. That is a true voice from God. If it's connected to who Jesus is in his Messiahhood, in his God-man, fully God and fully man ideas, then it is a voice from the Lord. And then he contrasts any teaching, any idea, any feeling, any spirit that diminishes or redefines or replaces Jesus is not from God. If it's a truth or idea that puts the self or something else above Christ, then it is demonic, selfish, or worldly, is a false spirit. These worldviews, he says, are of the Antichrist. Now, he's not talking about the final Antichrist, because he says in chapter 2:18, you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. And this is a common biblical theme. You know, it talks about the believers will have tribulations, but that will lead to a final tribulation before Jesus comes back. That there are antichrists in John's day, all the way through our time, but there's going to be a final antichrist, be it the apostate, right? The abomination that makes desolate. There will be a final antichrist before Jesus comes back, right? The idea of sacrifices in the Old Testament all lead to Jesus as the ultimate sacrifice. So they were expecting the final Antichrist to come, right? Which is good. Jesus can come back at any moment. The imminency of Christ, we call it, right? That he can come back at any moment that he wants to. And they're thinking, yes, right now, the Antichrist is here. But Jonah's saying, yo, there's Antichrist already. Maybe not the final Antichrist, but the Antichrist, like I said, are any voice that oppose and distort who God is. Anything that opposes or distorts Jesus and his gospel is an Antichrist. Whether that's the Gnosticism of his day, Hinduism, which has 2 million gods and incorporates Jesus into that, Islam, which preaches about Jesus, but not the Jesus of the Bible, that he was just a man, that he would not die for our sins. Theological liberalism, this idea that came from about 100, 200 years ago, that the Bible itself is not true, that it's an interesting book, that we don't believe in miracles, but there are some other things that were good in there. Theological liberalism, that's false, that's antichrist. We believe the Bible to be wholly true, even in the miracles, even the things that are not easy to explain. So John is drawing some sharp and harsh, clear distinction, which is John's characteristic style, right? Either you're the spirit of Christ or you're the spirit of the Antichrist. So for us, we need to preach truth about Christ to ourselves. We need to preach truth about Christ to ourselves. Every framework, every idea, every ideology, every feeling, every desire, every message, you must hold it up to who Jesus is, right? Is this connected to Jesus, or is this opposing Jesus, this distorting Jesus? In every spirit, worldview, or feeling that promotes self, pleasure, world, devil, is the spirit of the Antichrist. So we as believers need to take control of our thoughts, right? Thoughts that lie about Jesus in your relationship to him. Like we talked about last week, right? We tell ourselves lies regularly, and we have to combat them by taking control of our thinking and our feelings. Your standing with him is sure if you are a believer in Christ. Your value and your identity is sure if you believe in Christ. No matter what your mind and the thoughts that race through your mind tell you, and you have to battle them. Jesus said himself in Matthew 12:34, that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what you talk about reveals what you think about. If you're saying things that are lies about you and God and yourself, then you're going to be absolutely thinking those things. And it is poison. It's poison to yourself and to others, right? I've said this before, wrongly. My wife knows this. I mentioned about the TV that broke. It's like, why does God hate me? That is a false thought, right? And I've been complaining recently, and I had to repent of this. Complaining about the difficulty of online school. And yes, it's difficult, and it's hard, and it's not what's good for my kids. But the lie is that I believe when I complain about it is that I don't think that Jesus has authority over this. Right? That's the lie that I believe. That's not true, though. Jesus has authority over all things, and he will end this, and he has a plan for it. And I don't understand it, but I believe that he is in control. Amen. He is in control, even over this war. We don't understand it, but if we complain and talk about it, we're saying something about the Jesus that we believe in. Either he has authority over this or he doesn't. So we must take, as Paul says, take our thoughts captive. Right? You discern truth from error through practice. Right? Also, we need to be careful as believers what we consume. What you see on TV, what you watch, what you listen to, the people you spend your time with. Don't think that you're some sort of independent creature. That's not how God made us. Only God is fully independent, and he has a trinity with them. We are dependent. We are greatly influenced by the stuff that we see and watch and consume into our bodies, minds, and souls. So if we're watching shows that are lies about Jesus or his authority, if we're listening to all the music that talks about money, sex, power, and violence, if we have most of our friends that don't know or love Jesus, you will believe those lies, right? You'll be unable to effectively distinguish and discern truth from error. That's why Proverbs 13:20 says, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Foolish being those who are against God. Your spirit will absorb whatever you interact with, whether it's for Jesus or for the world, self, Satan. So I submit that you listen and you watch and you spend time with what promotes truth. What promotes truth? There are shows that show redemption, right? And the beauty of God. There is music, maybe not even worship music, that shows truth about the world and about life and about God. Because otherwise, you will not be able to have discernment. But if you listen to truth in your time, yes, we all have some free time. It's not long to have rest from work and to do things that are relaxing, like watching TV, music, whatever that is. But you must be careful what you consume because that will influence you. If you promote truth in your free time, it will give you discernment about true and false spirits. So he's not only warning the believers, but why now believers not fear deception, which is that believers discern because God is greater in verse 4. Right, again, he says in verse 4, little children, this pastoral tenderness for his flock. He says, you are from God. Right, this is after a lot of hard words, right? Hard words about you. If you don't love people, you won't love God. You're either the son of the God or the son of the devil. What he's saying here, he's kind of, as we're getting close to the end of the letter, saying you are from God. You are one of God's people, just like last week, right? You're reassured because God is greater than your hearts. And here he assures their confidence in the spirits, right? He reminds them of their identity, that they are truly God's children. That's who you are. If you are a believer, that's who you are. You are God's child. You are God's son and daughter. Yes, he gives lots of instructions and warnings in this book. We've gone over them. What he's saying here is your identity first. Who you, what you do will come from what you are. Right? If you think what you are is a bad person, you will do bad things. But if what you are is a child of God and you recognize this, from that will flow the instructions and the things that you need to do to align with who you are. Our identity flows from truth and instruction. And then we have overcome demonic spirits, false prophets, antichrist, worldly desires and attractions, our doubts, our fears, our weaknesses, and sinfulness. John says, it's already been overcome. It's already finished. Victory is already achieved. Not because we're stronger or smarter or even morally superior, but it's the Holy Spirit who is in us. He is the one that brings light, love, truth. He is the one that brings beauty and holiness into the heart of the believer. He, as I said last week, the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of our salvation until we come into his kingdom forever. That the Holy Spirit is greater than Satan, Antichrist, false teachers, demonic spirits, worldly deception and darkness. Believers, you have the Holy Spirit within you, he is saying. And this will overcome any deception or lie that comes in your path. So as believers, we need to focus our identity on Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And this is really hard to do because we live in a world that's high velocity. It's a lot about work. So we can place our identity in our work. We can place our identity in our stuff. We can place our identity in our money, in our friends, in our family, in our influence. Yes, and those things are a part of our lives. And nothing I said here is necessarily evil, right? But if we put our identity in them, they will become an idol in our lives. They are not our primary identity. If you are a believer, your primary identity is a child, a son of God, or a daughter of God through the blood of Jesus. That you are from God, that you are born again, that you have the Holy Spirit in you. First of all, your identity, anything else, it will crush you because those things will all fail you. Right? Your family will fail you. Your work will fail you. Your step will fail you. Your money will fail you. Your friends will fail you. So again, I said this before, we need to talk to ourselves regularly about this. Regularly saying this and thinking this and feeling this and this, some slowing down. Like I said, it's a high velocity world that we're living in. I feel it, you feel it. There's so much to do, right? I'm full and you are full of obligations and responsibilities, but don't let those things become your identity, right? So declare this to yourself daily. This is a truth for all believers. Second, we need to trust the Holy Spirit to guide us. Right? The Holy Spirit is God, just like the Father and the Son. Jesus promised in John's Gospel, the Holy Spirit is that I go away, I will bring the Helper, the Comforter, right? To dwell in all who believe. So if you are a believer, you have the Holy Spirit in you. He lives inside us and he's with us. He actively helps us navigate this life that we live in. He enables us and empowers us to become more like Christ. He gives us desires for holiness, which he never had before. He gives us conviction of sin. If you listen to the Spirit, he will convict you when there's sin in your life. That's always feel condemned, but he knows when there's things you need to correct. If you listen to him, he will tell you. He allows us to produce fruit, right? The fruit of the Spirit. My question is, do you believe that he will? Right? He says, he's overcome. Victory's already won. The game is rigged for the believer, right? It's rigged for us to win. It's a promise that he said. Yes, we have to walk through life and there are challenges. And we have to trust him. We make decisions about this life and we have to endure hardship, but the end is already written for us. You have to believe that. We have to trust him, that he knows us. He is the comforter in our grief and distress. If you're in distress right now, ask the Holy Spirit to give you comfort. Surrender, and also the surrendering of our control in our plans. Right, I can be so fixated on solving the problem and figuring it out in my plan. I'm going to make it happen if I have to. But that is not surrendering to the Holy Spirit. It's not trusting him. It's trusting Chris, right? I cannot save myself. And as long as I hold on to them, I am distancing myself from the spirits. So we need to surrender our control. Whatever you want, God. Whatever you want, spirits. I would submit journaling to distinguish his voice from my own thought. Journaling is a super helpful spiritual exercise that we can do as believers to know, okay, what is from my mind? What is from God? As you write it out, God brings that to light. Practice the awareness of his presence. Listen to other believers who have the Holy Spirit in them to help guide you as well. And he explains why the world embraces falsehood so easily. And the point is, the source determines the response. False teachers preach worldly ideals, right? They, he's referring to in verse 5, they are the malicious spirits, the false teachers, the antichrists, right? And they're based on worldly ideals, worldly values, like self first. God is not holy or personal. Sin is not real. There is no hell. There's just heaven. worldly desires, comforts, any sort of sexual expression, being good, make as much money as possible, have as much power as you can. Priority, self above all, then family, others if convenient, God is last, right? This is the whole world system opposed to God. And it's been that way since John Rome before. And they speak the language of the world, so the world responds happily. Yeah, that sounds great. Me first, money first, pleasure first. But true believers are from God. And he reaffirms here his flock is from God, his people. And the truth from the apostles and the original book followers are the standard. If you listen and read the word of the apostles and the prophets and Jesus, that will be your standard, and you will respond to that instead of the world's. And those who know God recognize truth. As we listen to the prophets, Christ, the apostles, and the world, we will listen and respond by the power of the Holy Spirit to follow him. Now, I'm not saying perfectly, but progressively. Right, we are imperfect people. But if we are making efforts, if we are progressively trying to be more like Jesus, to read his word, to know who he is, become closer to him, that's what shows us that we are listening and responding in children of God. The world will always reject biblical teaching and truth. It will always do this because they're opposed to one another until Jesus comes back. And your ringy bows. This is why we share our faith and we trust God to change hearts. Because there's no way that the world is going to ever believe without God, without us sharing the gospel and then believing it through the Holy Spirit. So we also need to distinguish the spirit of truth from error. Those who listen and follow God's instructions, these biblical values, desires, and priorities, they will know what is the Holy Spirit's truth and what is error. He says there's two voices, there's two sources, there's two paths. World, Satan himself, or God and Christ in the Spirit. So again, I said this before, I'm going to keep saying it, consistently immerse yourself in biblical truth. Read your Bible. If it's the only thing that changes that through your sermon today, I would be so happy you started reading your Bible every day. I know many of you are. The most important understanding of God's truth is through the Word of God. If you have the Bible app, get the Bible app. If you don't, there's a Bible in a Year app, and I do it every year. And it has a place in the Old Testament, a place in the New Testament, in the Psalms and in the Proverbs, and in 1 year you get through it all. Because if you get bogged down in genealogy in the Old Testament, you got the New Testament, other things to look forward to. It's a great plan to immerse yourself while you're listening, while you're washing dishes. There's always time for it. The world will assault us with its values, desires, and priorities. In order to have victory, we will have victory. But we just need to remain steadfast through the spiritual disciplines. In conclusion, as the band comes up. Like I said, federal agents look at real currency to know the fake. And we as believers learn discernment from knowing and abiding in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit enables believers to discern truth from error. Yes, deception is real. There are false prophets, antichrists in the world system. But Christ is the test of whether those things are true or a lying spirit. And the Holy Spirit is greater than the spirit of the world in this age. And we need to trust him as our guide. And the source explains the response. The world will always listen to worldly ideas, but believers will listen to God as being from God. God has given us his Holy Spirit and his truth to guide us. We don't need to be suspicious of everything. We need to become confident in someone, the Holy Spirit. And while this confusion and false teachers and deceptions abound in our day and here in Kuwait, he says, greater is he in you than who is in the world. If you know and listen to your shepherd's voice, you won't fear or fall for others' voices. So read the word, pray to God, fellowship, to train to hear his voice. And now stand up on our feet as I end this scripture. As you come Hebrews 5:14. Solid food is for the mature, for those who have their power of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are in us and you empower us, but you enable us, that you strengthen us, that you show us truth and error. I pray that you would bless, you would empower us, you would know that we are your children, and that we would distinguish truth from error without fear, and we'd be listening to you. Help us all to listen to you better this week. Through your word, through prayer, through the Spirit speaking its still small voice, empower us to listen to you and discern truth from error. We ask us in your great name. In Jesus. Amen.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Crossroads International Church. If you have questions about how to pray for, give, or get involved with CIC, visit www.ciccoet.com or check out our Instagram and Facebook account at CICQA. Have a blessed day.